Some good golf being played at the moment, and Brett Ogle is a master when coming to talk about it. G'day, Brett.
Brett Ogle, come in.
hello, good
morning. We were talking to your fax machine, apparently.
Went wrong. Something just went
Yeah, no,
and there was nobody there.
The best you've sounded for a while, we thought.
Oh, I thought there was no love there from the big sports breakfast. But there seems to be.
Yes.
You're back.
Yeah.
Justin Rose, wasn't he very impressive on
very
the weekend?
Good.
I mean,
we finished with those two birdies, didn't he?
Yeah, weather plagued event. I mean, they had to play 36 holes in the final day, and he was the best. He came through that. But since the Masters, boy, he's looked really good, hasn't he? He's hardly played golf this year. And, I mean, the golf that he had played wasn't very impressive. And all of a sudden, he's just hit a purple patch. But, yeah, well done to him. I mean, he's now won 6 straight years in the PGA Tour, and there's only Dustin Johnson, who has won 8 straight years in the Tour in front of him. So those two players have really looked the goods.
Mate, I remember saw him as an amateur in a British Open when they promoted him to give him a start. Did he lead after the opening round or something like that, or did he have a really good start as an amateur at the British Open?
No, he held his third shot from about 50 yards to run third at Birkdale in 98 as an amateur.
As an amateur, right.
That's what happened, and that put him on the map.
Right.
And then he turned pro.
Straight away.
Right away, and then went 22 straight missed cuts. anyway, changed his swing.
Right.
Ledbetter got with Ledbetter. And it took him 7 years to win on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So it's not as if he went over there and did well either. I mean, he struggled, and then all of a sudden he won in, it was 2008, and then since then, he's won every year since, at least once. So he's become, he was always going to be a really good player. He's got a great golf swing. He's got a good attitude, and he's a really good guy.
Good bloke?
Yeah, good, but really, really nice guy. Yeah, what you get's what you see with Rosie, which is really good. Jason Day had his chances.
It was close. He did have his chances, didn't he?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, the first 45 holes, he's 16 under. He's out in front. He's looking the goods. He looks like making another 12 birdies and finishing like 26, 28 under par and running away with the tournament. Then he went cold and he shot 3 under the last 27 holes and finished at 19 under, 3 shots back. But, you know, he keeps getting there, Jason Day, and he's always on the leaderboard. He's going to win more often than not. And it's great to see him fit and healthy because our hopes are all riding with him. And Scotty, obviously, over there, they're the two guys that stand out each and every week. Stephen Bowditch. I don't mention Stephen Bowditch very often, but probably because he keeps missing a lot of cuts and he's that inconsistent guy. But he's missed 7 of his last 10 cuts and all of a sudden pops up and shoots 16 under par for the weekend.
He's a talent, isn't he?
Look, he's a talented guy, but when things aren't going for him, I think he just packs it in and doesn't worry too much about it.
Yeah, well, he's had a few off-course issues with depression as well.
Yep, he has. He has, and I guess, you know, that's probably the tough part for Bodie to fight through each and every day. But who knows inside his head what goes on. When he's on, he's on.
Yes.
When he's not, he's not. But it's good to see him on, and let's hope he can string a few good finishes together. Mark Leishman, was good to see Leish back after his wife Audrey. You know, she was less than 5% in living 2 weeks ago. She had this toxic syndrome thing, pneumonia.
Yeah, terrible.
She went into it was awful. I mean, less than 5% living. They had to hang her up over a bed upside down, so that her lungs would drain the fluid out of her lungs.
Yeah.
It was awful to hear. And anyway, it was good to see Leish back, and she's okay. She's good now, thank God for that.
Jeez.
What a scare that would be. And anyway, he shot 74 the first day, and I tuned in the second day, and he's like 10 under through 15 holes. I go, wow, go Leish. Looked like shooting 59 for a minute. Anyway, he ended up shooting 63, hit a ball in the water, but it's good to see him back and the family fairly well, so it was good. And we've got the WGC match play this week, which will be very, very interesting. It's great to see match play. It only happens a few times of the year for us to watch. What do you guys like? You guys like match play?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it because it's every now and then. Yeah, as you say, you're not watching it all the time.
Yeah, well, it's the oldest form of golf too. So 64 of the best players in the world teed up this week at Harding Park at San Francisco. The only top player missing is Phil Mickelson, who decided to withdraw, and that put in Finland's Mika Ilonen into the field. But they've changed the format this year. You know how it used to be you lose, you're out. So there were 64 straight guys. One plays 64, two plays 63, and so on all the way down. It used to be round one, bang, you're gone, you lose. Well, now they've got 16 groups of four players now, and they play a round robin in those groups. So you play each other once, and the top player in that bracket of four will go into the next round of the round of 16, and then the winner of another bracket meets, and then you get down to your final two. So I think it's a good format. It's a lot more consistent, and they didn't want to see the top seeds get bundled out in the opening.
I remember Peter O'Malley knocked out Tiger first round one year, didn't he?
Nick O'Hearn did too.
There you go.
Yeah, it was the Aussie pick on Tiger Woods. So it was good.
Hey, Bogues, just on match play, the index that is around the world, that's the same for every course. Why is that? Can you explain it?
They have a stroke index at the bottom of the card for match play. No, I can't.
It's really the same everywhere.
It is. They have a different index for match play.
That's right.
I don't understand that. I never really have. As a kid, I just played it like everybody is and just went with it. I never really studied what it was, and it's the first time I've been asked that in 40 years.
So you mean the third hardest hole might not be rated?
No, because you've got your course rating and your index for the course, but then you have a match play index on the card as well, which is the same everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, so TK, the hardest hole on the golf course, which is generally number one ranked, that might be ranked number seven in the match play index down at the bottom in a little box.
Yeah, so
the indexes are different than the stroke index.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how that works. It's a good question. Mm. Maybe somebody can study that and send that in. Yeah. That could be a little bit of homework for our listeners.
Our listeners are very good with those sort of things.
They're all over it.
And we're just reading another survey about golf, mate, and just how long it takes to play, and they're thinking, majority of the golfers, 70%, are largely happy with the game. But there's that market now that the game of 18 is just a little bit too long. I mean, I don't know how the game changes or evolves.
Yeah, I've just read this myself from the RNA. They posted this up. 70% of golfers are largely happy with the duration of the rounds, but 60% of golfers expressed the view that it takes too long. Mm. It's interesting to see that. It's always going to be the case because 18 holes, the first...
It is what it is.
The firstborn golf course, St Andrews, was 12 holes.
Yes.
So if they continued that through up until this day, we probably wouldn't have this situation where it takes, 4.5 hours, 5 hours to get a round of golf in. 12 holes was probably a good number.
Yeah. Mm.
But golf is always going to be 18 holes. I think they're going to try, different formats, which we've tried over the years, different tournament formats, to try and speed up play. But it's the club member that's got to do it,
The person who whinges most about slow play is normally the slowest player.
Well, true, that's right. But the clubs... All clubs should bring in those range finders and viewfinders and stuff, right, to help speed up play. Because even the guy off 32, how far have I got? You're off 32.
Just hit it.
Just put a club and hit it. It's an interesting point, isn't it? But it's true.
What about, I've got 260 to the green. I think I'll just wait until they putt out.
Until the green clear. I've just topped it off the tee and it's trickled down there. I've got 260 and he's leaning on his club.
Always. Are they out of reach, do you reckon? I'll just wait for a second.
They do get me those ones.
They're 350 now, I'll hit.
The problem being, though, the one time you don't wait, you hit one out of your wazoo.
That's right, you nearly kill the bloke. And actually, it's funny because a guy in Sweden not long ago, it was only like 3 months ago, he turned one off the tee and then he decided, the guy's put the flag in on the green, so he's hit and he's flushed it and he's hit this guy on the hand and broke his wrist right at this golf club in Sweden. He has been banned for 12 months from playing golf in Sweden.
Is that right?
The guy had put the pin in, he'd walked off the edge of the green, he'd hit, and he hit this guy on the wrist and broke his wrist, and anyway... they gave him 1 year ban from playing golf in Sweden. So even though he'd finished the green in front, put the flag in, he still hit the guy, and he copped a year suspension. So if he's got a passport,
he's
got to play somewhere else. Well, there in Norway or Finland or something.
It's under snow 6 months a year, so it's really a six-month ban, I guess.
Yeah. Anything? Hey, listen, just before we go, I know we're wrapping up. There's Leishman sending Matt Jones, Adam Scott and Jason Day in the field this week.
Who are you tipping?
Rose plays Leishman, Stenson plays Sendon, Dustin Johnson plays Jones, Molinari plays Scott, and Charlie Hoffman plays Day. Look, I'm looking through the list. It's a bracket side of thing. So I'm looking through. I've looked at guys who have played Harding Park before and who have done well there. Sergio Garcia, Jim Furyk. The President's Cup was there in 2009. So guys that played all right at the President's Cup. Kuchar is a very good match player. I've narrowed it down to probably, I'm going to pick four guys. So
no, you can't pick four. You can have two.
Okay, well, I'm down to four.
No. Our punters want two. Give us two they can have a bet on.
Well, Kuchar's going to be definitely one of them.
Matt Kuchar, yep.
He is definitely one of them. And then... It's a toss-up. See, on the other side...
Gowie's tipping winners every week, mate.
Gowie's got you.
Furyk. No, look, 64 guys, mate. It's too hard. I'm going to give you two from one side and two from the other side. Here you go. Okay. Two on the left-hand side for those people that look up the bracket of the finals. Jim Furyk and Paul Casey will play off in a semi-final. And on the other side, I think Jason Day... And down the bottom here...
Matt Kuchar, you got to put in.
Kuchar, down the bottom. So there you go. Day at the top rung on the right, and Kuchar on the bottom side. There you go, there's my four.
Good on you, mate. We'll be watching the golf show tonight. Don't worry about that on Fox. And don't forget, get yourself into Drummond Golf and do yourself a deal. Thanks, Brett.
Good on you, boys. Have a great week.
Well done, mate.
There he goes, Brett. Brett Ogle.